It's certainly great to see you, church. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. Thank you for those who are visiting with us, whether that is, as been said, here in person or online. We certainly are concerned about health of people, and so thank you that you are healthy and taking the efforts to remain that way. Today is the Lord's Day, and I'm so thankful for that. So thankful we were able to have Bible class this morning. I'm so thankful that we've been able to sing these songs of praise, gather around this table, pray prayers, read scriptures. And now it's come a point in our time and our worship we're going to open up and challenge ourselves. Challenge ourselves to surrender. To surrender self to the Savior. You see, I believe that there are moments in time where we all have moments of losing who we are. For instance, you may be doing great. You may be reading your Bible. You may be praying prayers. You may be doing everything God wants you to do, worshiping, participating, active, and we have a moment where we get frustrated. We get angry. And sometimes we lose control. That's not the type of person I'm talking about today. I'm talking to those of us who have allowed God to not be where He needs to be. Johnny talked to us this morning from the Bible, reminding us of the Old Testament, reminding us of how there were so many kings along the way. The first thing they did is set up shrines and set up pillars and set up high places to serve foreign gods. What a slap in the face to God Almighty, who asked them to have no other God before Him. What a slap in the face to God Almighty as Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments, which very number one is no other gods before me. And Aaron, the spokesman of a lot of going into Pharaoh's court, led a charge to build an idol for the people to worship. Today, if we're not careful, we can lose control. We can lose control and allow fear to become our idol. We can lose control and we can allow money and greed to become our idol. We can lose control and allow sin and other perversions to become our idols. Today, it is my prayer that we will not lose our self-control, but we will elevate it. We will elevate our surrender. Surrender is a negative word in a lot of people's minds, but it's not when it comes to Christianity. If you go to battle, right, and the enemy surrenders, that's a good thing for those who are victorious. But see, today, it's a good thing to surrender to the one who's always going to win, to the one who paved the way, to the one who loves us more than we could even fathom. It is my prayer that all of us, when we leave today, will surrender ourselves to God. You know, I always like to do a little visual aids when I can. I'm afraid, though, that some of our young people won't know who those first two are, because those were when I was a child. That is, I think they'll all know who the third one is there. But when you see those characters, you remind yourself that all of them, at one time or another, lose control. The Tasmanian devil would come into Bugs Bunny's world, wouldn't he? And he would just like be like a bull in a china shop, if you will, and being a tornado and whirling around and eating things in his path and destroying things. And it's like he was in a cyclone. Sometimes our lives seem like they're in a cyclone. Sometimes they seem like we're out of control. We're taking in everything and anything that we can except for the one thing that matters the most. Well, then there's Wile E. Coyote. And I know that he looks like a guy that may have it together, but he never had it together. He allowed his desire for the Roadrunner, his longing to capture the Roadrunner, to make him do some pretty dumb things like blow himself up with rockets and fall off cliffs and things like that. Sometimes our eyes get fixed on one purpose. Sometimes we forget that we're not the only ones that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah got his eyes fixed and he felt sorry for himself that he couldn't see the big picture. And if we're not careful, we're going to blow ourselves up with those rockets or step off that cliff. Then, of course, there's the Incredible Hulk, who always has that line that I've used many times. And I live this line a lot, and I make mistakes with it. Bruce Banner said, "Do not make me angry. You will not like me when I'm angry." Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we turn green. I used to tell people, especially kids that I was teaching, do not disrespect, because I will go from zero to the Incredible Hulk. And sometimes we're that way. Now, I'm not proud of that fact. You're not proud of that fact. But I do think there is righteous anger. I do think there's a time to be angry at certain things. However, Bruce Banner tried to fight the big green monster. Sometimes we're fighting that green monster. Now, these are all fictional characters. The Tasmanian Devil, Wile E. Coyote, the Incredible Hulk. But the question today is, what about the one we look in the mirror and see? Where are you? Where am I? The story is very personal to me, because it's something that I have to remind myself that I am not in control. Sometimes we want to control everything. But what the ultimate goal in life ought to be is to not worry about anything. We think, I got to control everything. But when we do that, we struggle with the one in the mirror. We struggle with the self-confidence, the worry, the doubt, the fears, all those things, the out-of-controlness. When we remember that the one who loves me the most, the one who's faithful to me the most, the one who has died for me, the one who longed for me to be with Him so much, He sent His only Son. When we surrender control to Him, there should be no more worries. Because He's promised to guide us. He sent His Comforter, His Spirit to us, to guide us, to lead us. We have His Word that is a light to our feet and a lamp to our paths. And we know exactly what God wants us to do. Sometimes, though, sometimes we get distracted. My goal today is to remind us to be in the Word, to not be distracted. We're going to look at two sections of Scriptures today. The first one is found in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. Seth read to us from verses 24 and 25, and I love the way that Paul closes that out, this section of Scripture. Verse 13, though, Paul writes, "Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. But what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." And I'm going to confess to you, there are moments I feel that exact same way. And I would imagine I'm not the only one. Verse 16 now, "If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." Remember now, this is the Apostle Paul writing, not just some bum on the street. Verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I've had those moments when I thought, "Oh, wretched man. Oh, wretched man that I am." Maybe you've thought, "Oh, wretched woman that I am," ladies. We have had those moments when we said, "I want to do what's right. I'm going to do what's right." But at the end of the day, we do what we do not want to do. It's because at those moments, we've lost control. Or we've tried to control self ourselves. So that's one writing of Paul I want you to turn to this morning. The other one is found in Galatians 5, one you may be a little more familiar with. Galatians chapter 5, let's turn there together and let's read it together. Paul writes here, verses 16 through 25, some very powerful things, just like he did in Romans chapter 7. Galatians chapter 5 now, beginning in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. In other words, it can't exist, flesh and spirit. So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So my question to us today, as we get into the heart of this lesson, is how's your walk? How's my walk? Are we able to lose control of ourselves and gain control of the Savior? How today can we walk in the light? How today can we walk in the Spirit? How can our minds, our hearts, our lives be centered better around Jesus Christ? I believe there are a few ways. Number one, the first thing I need to do is I need to confront myself. Let's face it, sin's hard to put down. Those idols that become those little G's in our lives, they're hard to put down. Those things that we might think matter the most, that matter not at all, they're hard to put down. I mean, we understand that because we understand life. It's like chocolate when you're on a no-carb diet. It's sweet tea when you're cutting out sugar. It's bed when the alarm clock goes off. But it's hell to those who want to go to heaven. Sin is hard to put down. The first obstacle, if I want to walk in the Spirit and not be that wretched man that I am, and elevate my control to God, that self-control, that fruit that I ought to be producing, then I've got to have a conversation with that lion in the mirror, with that mean, sinful person that I'm looking at. Sin is hard to put down. Wouldn't it be great if sin, again, you know, I'm not a broccoli guy, a turnip green guy, or really any green vegetable kind of guy. If sin felt like that stuff tastes to me, I'd never do it. I'm not going home and eating broccoli. I'm not going home and eating turnip greens. I'm not going home and doing those things. You know why? Because I don't enjoy that taste. I wish I did. But wouldn't it be great if sin was that way? But it's not. It's Oreo cookies. It's Snickers bars. It's chocolate chip cookies. It's birthday cake. It's ice cream. It's whatever you can think is the best thing you want. That's what Satan paints it to be. And I despise that. I despise that. You know, it's kind of like we'd all be healthy, right? We'd all lose weight if Oreos were as good for you as broccoli. I mean, it's the reality is, though, sin is not pretty. but we think it is. Satan paints it to be a beautiful picture. It's hard to put down. But if we don't put it down today, if we don't surrender it today, if we don't confront the sin that's in our own personal lives today, then it will be devastating. Alcoholics Anonymous has a 12-step program. Their motto, as they go into that, is we are admitting that we are powerless over alcohol. You know what we are? We are powerless over sin. Paul said it this way, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He also said in that same chapter, as a quote from the Old Testament, there's none righteous, no, not one. He also said in the same book, he said to abhor or despise or hate that which is evil. But he said you got to cling to what is good. You know why? Because our human nature is to sin. Our human nature is to fill our lives with things that are bad for us because we do not have power over them. So today, if you are trying to conquer sin in your life that is controlling you, you can't do it. But God can. God can. If we're going to let go of the control of self, then we must confront self. Adam and Eve, for instance, Eve eats, Adam eats. They know sin. What do? The first thing they do is cover themselves. They hide themselves. They blame themselves. What they needed to do was to confront themselves. Paul wanted to do what was good, Romans 7:19, as we read earlier. But Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Unfortunately, the devil is powerful, and he's very good at what he does. But if we belong to Jesus, do not miss anything under this point. If you're going to miss everything, don't miss this. The devil's good at what he does. But if we belong to Jesus, he does not have command over us. And I prove that with Galatians 5 verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Today you're free. Today if you confront yourself, and you don't like what you see in the mirror, what you see in the mirror is mean, it's nasty, it's sinful. Then you need to say, self, we got to submit to Christ. We got to put to death the sin in our lives. If we've done that, we're free today. So we must let go of the control. We're the only one standing in the way. Confront self, lose control. Second this morning, after I confront myself, what do I need to do? I need to crucify myself. Now, I know that sounds harsh, especially to maybe those who are little in here. But what happens before we get to the crucifying ourselves part, sometimes we just want to coddle ourselves. Sometimes we just want to throw pity parties. Galatians 5:24 again reads like this, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. After we stare at that person in the mirror, and we don't like what we see in the mirror, and we want to change what we see in the mirror, after we have that talk with ourselves, and we come to the conclusion that it's time to surrender self, you know where we need to head to? The cross. We need to head to the cross. You know what Paul said in Galatians 2:20, right? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. One thing I didn't enjoy doing in school was dissecting sentences, but we're going to dissect this verse, okay? I want you to listen to this now. How does it start? It starts with I. This has to be personal. That's why you have to confront the person in the mirror. Now listen, there may be somebody who's come to you and said, honey, or friend, or sweetie, or loved one, or brother, or sister, or mama, or daddy, I need you to try to change some of these things. But until, like that Alcoholics Anonymous, we admit we're powerless over it, usually we don't change. So I'm talking to the one who has admitted today you're powerless. It's got to start with you, just like it's got to start with me. That's the first part of this. I have been what? Crucified with Christ. How do we do that? Romans 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, Jesus were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Behind this wall is water. And that water is not holy. It's tap. It's out of a faucet. But what God does in that water is special. You see, because today when I say self, I don't like the way you're living. Let's get this right. And I walk to the cross. Here's what happens. I walk up that stairway, I change clothes, I walk down in that water, and I'm standing there in that watery grave, and I go under that water, crucifying myself with Jesus Christ. And it's under that water that God contacts us with the life-saving blood of Jesus, and we come up out of that water, resurrected just like Christ, to walk in newness of life. Dissecting the verse, it's I, crucified with Christ, then guess what? It's no longer I. Listen to Romans 6, 5 through 11. For we have been united together in the likeness of His death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You hear it? When I go down in that water and I'm crucified with Him, it's now no longer I in the mirror. It's Jesus. Because I'm living my life with Him. I've been crucified with Christ. But it's no longer I who lives. And the final point I want to make is this, on this part. Christ gave Himself for me. We could read Romans 5, 6 through 11 again. It's the same exact scripture. But we remember the fact of this, that Christ did it for you. He did it for me. Make it personal. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So here's the test you got to ask yourselves. In my life, is Christ on the throne and self on the cross? Or is self on the throne and Christ on the cross? In my life, is self dead to self and surrendered to the Savior? Or is the Savior dead to self and self surrendered to self? God asked Adam and He asked Eve, where are you? Believe He's asking us the same question today. Where are we? Are we on the throne or are we on the cross? I have one final point. We confront self. We crucify self. Guess what happens? We've learned to control self. The Greek word literally means, when it comes to self-control, one who masters or dominates his desires and passions. One who masters or dominates his desires and passions. Are we mastering or dominating our desires and passions? Or are they mastering us? Johnny, one of the verses he used this morning was from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus very plainly said, you cannot serve two masters. You'll love one, despise the other. You'll be loyal to one and despise the other. Okay, you can't serve God and riches. You can't serve God and fill in the blank. And so with that today, is sin mastering you or are you mastering sin? We must confront self, crucify self, and then we've loosened the control of self. And guess who's controlling the ship? Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:25, for if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That verse reminds me that surrendering self is not just a thought. It's an action. It's a daily walk. It's a grind, if you will, at times. But it's all guided by our Heavenly Father. When I surrender myself to God and I crucify myself and He takes control of self, it's a new attitude, it's a new outlook, it's a new life, it's a new walk. Guess what? Our spouses will notice. Our children will notice. Our friends, our bosses, our coworkers, our neighbors. They'll say things like, Terry's not the guy he used to be. And then they'll say, what's the difference? And you can say, hey, I'm no longer mastered by my passions. My passion is the master. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. Lord, take control. Take control. I surrender my life into your hands. Nothing less is what my soul demands. Only you can satisfy my soul. Oh, my Jesus, come take control. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. Lord, take control. Take control. It is time for us to give up control and walk to the cross. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.